Last week, we talked about time. Sometimes we run on time, sometimes we don't. We want to be good managers of time that God gives to us. He gives each and every one of us the same amount of time every day. Sometimes we have to admit we don't use it as well as we could. But for that, there's forgiveness and desire to work on it. Today we're going to talk about talents. Do you have any talents?
Oh.
That was quick. Which means they're overflowing with talent. All right. Part of the management topic of stewardship, we want to be good managers of our talents and gifts as well. The first question there on the sheet, how are the stewardship of time and the stewardship of talent connected, if they are connected?
You don't have any talents, so you don't have time.
You don't have any talents, what's the second part?
What's the point in having time?
What's the point in having time? Okay. So there's another way you can put that.
I know, but I didn't want to go that way.
Right?
Well, they're both gifts from God, and so therefore they could be used to His good use and praise and witness for others.
All right, they're both gifts from God, and they both give us an opportunity to witness God's gifts to us, be a witness for Him.
It takes a lot of time to develop a good talent.
All right, it takes a lot of time to develop a good talent. That's true too, right? They're connected.
And you have to make good use of your time to use your talent.
All right.
If you have the talents that don't make good use of your time, it's not good either.
And again, you may have the talents, but you may not have the time. So then you have to look back and go, all right, I have this talent that I want to put to use. What needs to change so I can have the time to do that? And that can be a legitimate point. It can also be used as an excuse, too, right? I don't have time. All right, so talent, you lead something, time, you be a part of something. Okay.
Well, kind of a negative in a way, but if you have the talent to serve God, you have to make time to use it.
All right,
you can't use, I don't have time as an excuse for not using the talent.
All right, so if you got the talent, you want to try to make the time for that. And again, you may have time, but maybe you don't have a specific talent. Well, is there some other way that they can use? Because we all have a talent, which we're going to look at. And how we recognize what those talents are and how we put those into practice is part of our discussion, part of our being good stewards. Steve, can you read that next paragraph, please?
Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Susan anybody, and Joe nobody were neighbors. They're next to me. All four belonged to the same church. Everybody went fishing on Sunday or stayed home to visit with friends. Anybody went to worship, both. Everybody wanted to worship, but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him. So guess who went to church? Nobody. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher, everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it. And you know who did it? Nobody. That happened that a fifth neighbor moved into the area. Everybody thought somebody should go over and invite him to church. Anybody could have done it, but you can guess who didn't do it. Who did it? Nobody.
Thank you. So, that's that other church. That doesn't describe us, thankfully. Right? We can all take an honest look at ourselves. That kind of leads to the next question there. How many of us think that since we have a board of outreach or a building and grounds committee, only those people on the board or committee are needed or able to do the work? We don't have to answer that out loud, but you know, we kind of get to that mentality of, well, we got somebody doing that, so I don't have to. Am I willing to volunteer my talent? Maybe I haven't been asked, but I can volunteer. I can go and say, hey, I'm willing to do this or that. Sherry. No, that's a valid point. And like you said, it's not unique to churches, but other volunteer organizations as well, where 20% are doing 80% of the work. In some situations, it's 10, 90, whatever. Households, right? I mean, you have some households where one spouse is doing 90% of the work and the other one. That's where we have to not get caught up in what is someone else not doing or doing, but what can I do? And that's what we'll be focusing on too. I have a talent given by God. What do I do with it? Without worrying about titles and so forth. So how many know what boards and committees we have here currently, along with their purpose?
Mike.
How many boards?
10 boards.
10 boards.
No, sorry, there's 10 in the meetings. Seven, six.
Six boards. All right. Adult discipleship. They primarily work with putting on Bible studies, helping us grow in our relationship with God outside of the worship service. Child discipleship. Matt, you can explain what they do in a nutshell.
School, Sunday school, VBS, mostly.
Okay. Make sure our school primarily is running on all cylinders. Faculty has what they need, and they have the faculty and so forth. And then we have elders, making sure people are spiritually cared for, whether they're not coming to church, they're inactive for one reason or another, find out if there's something going on that we can help them with, as well as those who are not able to make it to church, they're homebound for various reasons, so elders work with them. Outreach. I want to make sure that we carry out the Great Commission, so they help us focus on that. Stewardship. They are focused primarily on the financial resources, time and talent, use of God's people, encouraging us to use such to God's glory, putting out opportunities. Connected to stewardship, then we have the Building and Grounds Committee. That's stewardship of time and talent and taking care of our property. Then we have the worship, Board of Worship, which helps make sure that we have worship services, that the means of grace are front and center in those worships. They all have a purpose, and actually multiple purposes. And then there are various committees. What are some committees that we have that take people's talent? Altar?
Usher.
Usher?
AV?
Food for shut-ins.
Food for shut-ins?
Prayer list.
Ellie? Starts with an L, ends with an S. LWMS is another way, talent and time involvement there, right? Did you know that?
Worship arts.
Worship arts.
I said BG's under stewardship.
Under stewardship, yep. Okay. There's a high school effort starting, committee looking into, are we in a position to start a high school? Mortgage payoff committee, yep. Youth ministries, quite rarely focused on teen ministry, so we're looking at setting up a committee. So we're multiple ways for we God's people to get involved. Time and talent, they go together. And we need multiple talents to help this ministry move forward. And God has blessed us with multiple talents. So how many of us from time to time fit the illustration mentioned above? How do we ourselves tend to fall into that trap? You know, we see somebody there in the entryway, and they're standing by themselves. Well, somebody, Gregor will talk to them. But Greg's busy over here. And then that person walks out the door. Who talked to that person? Don't know. Right? An outlet is falling off the wall. Well, the building and grounds people take care of it.
What's falling off the wall?
An outlet cover. Oh. Yeah, so can you operate a screwdriver? Could you fix it yourself?
I will if you want me to.
Sure, thank you. You know, do you need to be asked to do something? If you notice that it's awry? Or the blinds, maybe they're not even. Is that somebody else's job to make sure they look nice?
Not if you have OCD.
You know? I mean, so there's two ways of looking at that. One, if they're not, well, I can adjust it to make sure they look nice and even. Or, on the other hand, 100 years from now, will it matter if they were crooked? No. But if we have the opportunity to make something look nice, repair, help somebody, encourage, let's do it. Is one gift or talent better than another?
No.
No. That was a quick answer, firm, yes. Why not? Okay.
Any gifts, one spirit or parts of the body, they're all important. You can give it to one and the whole body suffers.
Okay. So we're going to look at that in a moment. There's one person who gives the gifts, but he gives gifts to everybody. Now, we all don't have the same gifts or talents. And maybe we can't utilize all the gifts and talents at this point in time. But we can strive to use those talents and gifts as we are able. But it doesn't mean that someone is better than the other. If they're involved more than another, it doesn't mean they're better. If they have more gifts than someone else, that doesn't make them better. Right? We want to use whatever gift or gifts we have to the glory of God. Let's take a brief look at some passages which emphasize the attitude and motive we are to have for the use of our time and talents. We're going to read Romans 12. It's printed out for us there. Greg?
Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us.
All right, thank you. Put in your own words what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, is telling his readers.
That we're all connected in one.
Yeah, we're all connected. We're all one. One body in Christ. And the fallout, or the after that, is what? We need to then work together as one. Is there benefit in having different gifts?
Yes.
Yes. Imagine if we were all the same. Right? But we have different gifts. How so? Why is that important?
More things get done.
More things get done, right? Different needs to be met. Why are we not to grumble about the gifts that have been given to us? God has given those gifts. So just like in the Old Testament reading for today, you know, we're not grumbling against the human beings before. They were grumbling against Moses, but they're also grumbling against the Lord. So, if we have an issue, we're grumbling against the Lord. It's against Him. So what's needed instead of grumbling?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Attitude, right? What else? Thanksgiving.
acceptance of the ones you do have.
Okay, acceptance. Yep.
Instead of wishing you had something that you don't.
Okay.
Or developing what you have.
All right. And then develop what you have. Good. Patience. Guard against jealousy or pride. There's a difference between being confident in our abilities and then being arrogant about our abilities. When do many come to the realization that they are taking their gifts for granted?
When you fall out of with God.
Yeah, when you fall out of God, your relationship with God.
When you don't use them.
You don't use them, okay?
Those when they get taken away.
Yeah, right? Sometimes you don't.
Oh, 3 years ago, I'd have done this, that, this. Well, not anymore.
Right? Yeah, you don't realize what you have until it's gone.
I think a lot of times you feel like you're not engaged. And if you're not engaged, you're not really enjoying things. So I think the more you enjoy something, the more you're engaged with it. It has a sort of a system feedback effect. So that the more you do it, the more you enjoy it. And it sort of perpetuates itself. But if you're in the dead end of water, if you've never taken the first step, sometimes it's hardest to take the first step toward your journey to develop your talents. And if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you're taking that first step in developing your talents, recognize what your talents are. You know, even at the church, you know, we need multiple people to do a variety of things. Maybe you're asked to do something, you have to be honest and say, that's not my talent. I'm willing to give a shot, but then come back and say, it's not my talent. Because like Fred pointed out, if you don't enjoy doing that, then you're going to be miserable, and that's just going to trigger things out. You know, we don't want people to be miserable, so we want to help identify what your talents are and then try to match up those talents. And as I said earlier, maybe we don't have a specific place right now, but we can work on that.
Playing off what Fred said, sometimes you take that first step, and you may have to take that first step 4 or 5 times. So I've got this talent, and I try to apply it to people. I don't know, or that's not how we do it, or, you know, no, we, you know, you got to be a little persistent until you kind of find your craft and the way to apply your talent sometimes.
Yeah,
and I've definitely seen that.
To do outreach, put us in a position to help take care of the campus. You know, so they've been charged with help encouragement, not to do it all. So, you know, it's a two-way street. We need to encourage them by volunteering, and they need to encourage us by making us mindful of what the needs are and the opportunities are. And our boards are doing a good job with that. You know, there's an outreach opportunity, there's a campus cleanup opportunity, there's a I'll never get this word. Small rally coming up.
Yes. The sign up things out there. Everybody knows where the sign up things are. And you know, you just sign up for something. That's helpful too, because then you know where the need is.
That's right.
And you can fill it in.
So someday, you know, no one's going to leave until they fill out the football.
At least look at it.
And then some other Sunday, no one can leave until the baskets are eaten. Other comments on that? Great, you had your hand up.
Well, I was looking at the monitor where it said hidden talents, and I often go to the opposite side and I said, golly, you know, there are obvious talents that people have, and they may not even realize it until someone says, hey, and points it out and asks that individual. And I think encouraging has a lot to do with things too. If you don't always see it in yourself, maybe someone sees it in you.
Great point, right? And we need to, you know, again, see the bigger picture too. How this ministry comes together, or our life you know, the family. We all have different gifts and abilities, even with the household, running the household, different gifts and abilities.
I think sometimes we come to the realization that we have no value. And we've been put here at a great price. Christ has died for each and every one of us. And that is a great price God paid to bring us to where we are today. And so if we don't maintain the family atmosphere, this is your home. You're not a, this isn't a country club. And so when you realize why you're here and what you're for, then your gifts can be exposed a lot better.
Yeah.
You know.
But
you help each other.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, when you talk about the country club, well, we don't have a golf course. You can meet up with fellow family members and go golfing, right? Or bowling,
well,
or whatever.
Well, we could come out
be.
Here and make all people would come.
One whole course.
Yeah.
Mini golf.
Where it says to emphasize the attitude and do things for Jesus and have the joy to do it. And so you, with the ability that you have, your talents comes in, how God gives you the gifts for the talents, doing it for Jesus.
Attitude is key. Again, doing it for Jesus. We are His handiwork. He's put us in a position to do good works, right? And that family atmosphere, the value that we have, you know, again, comes from God. We are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You know, we do have identity, and we do have purpose. You know, if the world may not see it, or the, you know, if we don't meet up a certain standard, it's not their opinion that counts. We have to go back to God's opinion. And then we also have to be careful here, too. Again, there are people, again, more has been given, more will be asked of. And, again, not to be jealous of, but rather encourage them so they don't burn out. And part of that burnout factor is one of the reasons why the people who serve on boards, you know, after a few terms, they're asked to take a break, or at least work on a different committee then, and then get refreshed. But the best place to refresh ourselves during and while also on break from a board or committee is where? Church, worship, being in the Word. You know, again, especially our leaders, God's asking you to make spiritual decisions. Well, if you're not in the Word, how can you make spiritual decisions? You know, we are a business, but we're not a business. So we want it to be business sense. God's a God of order and common sense, count the cost and so forth. But again, who's running the business? God. And we want to be the managers of the talents He's given to us. Next passage. Ephesians. To read that one. Look, Fred.
Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Thanks. So what is an imitator?
I said a copycat.
Copycat?
You do by following an example.
Okay. Do by example. Act like. Okay? You know, the mind. Anyone ever been mind? Anyone imitate you in a corner while you're waiting?
It could also be a pretender. They're trying to pretend like they're something they aren't.
Okay, a pretender, yep. And in this case, right, I mean, we don't want to do something that we're not in a position to do, but we do want to imitate Christ in what sense?
Sacrificial service.
Sacrificial service, right? You know, Romans 12 is another passage we can use. Gives us the motivation and then what to do. In view of God's mercy, motivation, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, so again, as with our time, so with our talent, there will be a sacrifice involved. Because again, too much has been given, much will be asked.
The other thing that strikes me here is what we are to imitate, it implies what you're not to be imitating, which is kind of everything but God's example. So the world's example, chasing after this, chasing after that, wrong priorities, you know, all that. So that's kind of what's not here maybe speaks a little
bit. Yeah, you think of Jesus, he knew his purpose. So how could he have been distracted from his purpose?
much carpentry?
Too much carpentry? Yeah, there was homes that needed to be built, repaired. You know, what did people ask him to do for them?
Heal
them. Be our bread king. He could easily have been distracted and just, you know, gone off and just opened up a clinic to provide, yeah. But he knew his purpose. And so be imitators of Christ. God's given us a purpose. Yes, yeah, stay focused on that. Fred.
But you can also consider what the context, though, is dearly loved children. And so that's that family feeling, like you belong to the body of Christ, but you're doing it as a child, not with some sort of cynical motive that what am I getting out of it, but it's just a matter of serving others so that you yourself aren't the center, your ego's at the center, but you're embracing the higher spirit of God and Christ in what you're doing. So you feel like you're accomplishing something that's much higher than yourself.
Yeah,
so it's just transcending yourself as a child, which is as close as you get the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, it goes back to the attitude again that was emphasized, too. Because, yeah, what is to be the motivation? It's mentioned here. Dearly loved children, we've been given identity. We're part of a family. And you know, again, that child-parent relationship, too, in a sense, you know, who makes the rules, in a sense? Well, God has made the rules, but he doesn't put his heavy hand upon us to carry him out. He has given us loving motivation. Christ is his sacrifice. He gave of himself. And so now we are in a position as dearly loved children to go and act. Let's see. Where is it? Jerry?
I've seen congregations where I think it's human nature to want to be appreciated, bigwig, not necessarily be a leader, but to be pumped up. And some churches, just seems like if you can't do it in your job, maybe you can do it at church. So that goes to motivation, and people can see that. You know, they don't want the leaders to have the pomp. But it's important that, you know, when I'm asked to do something that's very time-consuming, I pray about it. You know, or before I volunteer for something big, I would pray about it. And that's the attitude, instead of saying, oh, well, I can be a bigwig here and lead the show.
Yeah.
And some congregations, that's how people are, and you can see it.
Yeah, so we don't have a volunteer in one person, but that's not what it's about. Steve, you had your hand.
I think one of the things we forget, when Jesus came, the healing and all the things he did would not just show his power, but God's power. And his mercy. We often sometimes want to do something so we look good, not God. So we have to be careful of that motivational side.
Yeah, again, it's not our glory, but his glory. Paul.
I think the point in this passage is to be an imitator of God. He doesn't ask you to be a perfect imitator of God. He asks you to be an imitator of God. So we should always strive to be godlike. We should be like Jesus. Jesus was a man, and he has set that example. And that's what we should always strive for. We'll never be perfect, but we should always strive for it.
You know? And again, he demands perfection from us,
right. Yeah.
But that perfection has been met in us and for us through Christ.
Right.
And so, yeah, then he says, be faithful to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So, you know, that's a good point as well. Again, what was God's and is God's focus? Our salvation. You know, be imitators of God. Well, what should be our primary focus? You know, loving God, one of the ways to love God is by then loving one another. You know, sharing the faith with them, encouraging them, and so forth.
Well, just to, I think, put it in a nutshell, is a very divine attribute is one of that of humility. And that's one that Christ demonstrated to us as a humble servant. So as long as it's good to be mindful of our humility in anything we do,
yeah.
Related to God's work.
Yeah, I'm so humble, I'm proud of it.
There you are.
Yeah. No, humility is huge, right? How important is the fact that Christ gave himself up for us?
very important, because it's like, you tell me you love me, prove it. And so this is God's proof, because he sent his son to die for our sins. So it is the proof of God saying that he loves us.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a simple question, but it has a powerful answer in a complex way. It says, Christ did not die for us. Where are we still? In our sins. And again, if Christ did not rise from the dead, where are we? Our faith is futile. But he did die for us. He did rise again. Our faith does have assurances. It comes with assurances. And it comes then with responsibility and ability. And we are put in a position to serve. Comment on the significance of the words as a fragrant offering.
To be significant, to be a fragrant offering to God, is to be, presentable. You know, if you're not a fragrant offering, you're going to be, get away from me, you don't smell good. Yeah. But this is fragrant. This is, you are now acceptable. You know, be an acceptable sacrifice to God.
Yeah, pleasing, acceptable, approachable, yeah. Because again, by nature, yeah. You know, again, what are we? We are stinky, right?
We're stinky.
we're objects of wrath. Sin and holiness cannot be in the same presence. And so something was demanded. And this sweet smell to God. You think of the sacrifices that were offered in the aroma that was pleasing to God. When Christ offered up himself, that was a sweet, pleasing smell to God.
Fat smells good.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think it goes back to the sort of the system concept that everything we do affects everything else. So fragrant is like a spiritual thing. It's not seen. It's sort of an unknown quality. But we know it's there. So, therefore, we need to do something that's God-pleasing. That pleasingness will, I'm not sure that's the word, but it will go and extend out into everything and affect others in a very positive way, in a fragrant way.
Yeah, I mean, right? So, and again, we'll get into the next passage, too. I mean, we are God's arms, in a way, to pass on that sweet smelling that Christ has won for us and given to us.
You may not know where it's coming from. Someone else is doing it, but you know it's good.
Okay? Yeah, we don't always know. The fragrance, right? And that's similar thought process of don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing with that. You know, with that offering there, again, the Old Testament sacrifices, like the burnt offering, everything was offered up. You know, Christ offered up himself. It was complete. No more sacrifices again. For sin, this one was, this sacrifice of Christ was sweet smelling to God because it was completeness. God and man have been reconciled. So satisfactory, pleasing smell. We give thanks for that. That leads us to the next passage from Ephesians 2.
For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Thank you. So credit for our salvation belongs to? Why? Because he did it all. We're not able to save ourselves, right? He's given us a gift, this gift of faith. What kind of works are we to do? Don't think too hard, right? Good, right? Beneficial. The motivation is there. Other things. Mention some good works we can and are to do. Some good works we can and are to do.
Help our neighbor.
Help our neighbor, in a nutshell. We're going to look at some more later in a moment.
Well, I just was at a Bible study once, and a pastor talked about how our good works benefit world. They're not just for the kingdom, the family of believers, which is kind of obviously another evidence of God's grace, but how he has his people here and the good works we do affect all of society.
Yeah, right. I mean, so we're not just here to impact ourselves, but others. You know, let your light shine among men, and then we see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We don't know who's always watching either. And again, we're not just here to do good for the family of faith, but also all people. But especially for the family of faith, we are to be good. You know, love God, love our neighbor, various ways. Good works, worship God. Right? It's a good work. Encouraging one another. Using our time wisely. Using our, recognizing, blessing, recognizing our talents, utilizing our talents. We'll get into specifics later. Notice who always is to get the glory. And why is this?
It's God.
It's God. And why?
He's given us everything.
Yeah.
Our time, our talent, our money to do these things is to his glory. If he didn't give it to us, we couldn't be doing the good things we want.
Exactly. It all comes from him, and all goes back to him. Give him the glory. Bless you. Is it wrong to tell someone, thank you, or you did a good job? But we kind of have that mentality. Maybe that was years ago, right? The only time you heard from your dad was when you did something wrong. You know, but we should encourage. It's not wrong to say thank you. And again, even if you're not, you should be looking for it per se, right? We should just act, use the talents we have given, and our time wisely. But we should also take the time to recognize what people do. You know, so a word of thanks goes a long way, or you did a good job.
Sometimes people have a hard time hearing thank you and knowing what to do with it, and it can be awkward for them.
You know, again, and you're doing your job, so you should, you know, hey, you're doing your job, but still you want to hear the encouragement, or, you know, even in the home, you know, again, we should not just assume they know what how I feel, express it, you know, build up and encourage that way.
Don't you expect it more from God when you get encouraged that he gives you salvation and more abundantly from God than through people that maybe they forget, maybe they acknowledge what you're doing or who you're doing it for, Jesus?
Well, we do want to make it clear who we're doing it for.
Right.
Yeah, we're doing it for Jesus, not for ourselves. Yeah, so that's why, again, we're not looking for those words necessarily, but we should not hesitate to offer someone those words. Since God's love for us is the motivation behind our doing good works, why is the church hard pressed at times for volunteers? It could also include the helping of a friend or a neighbor. Okay, sometimes we forget what God has done for us. We need that daily reminder.
It goes back to last week's topic, stewardship of time. Sometimes you see a need and then you do the math in your head of the amount of time that may take or the direction that may go, and you say, easier to not head down that path because I don't have enough time.
Okay, that's true. Chuck?
We're selfish and lazy.
Thank you. I mean, our old Adam's a good swimmer, right? And so that feeds that laziness, and we'll let someone else do it. It goes back to that first paragraph. So we have to drown that old Adam. We have to keep the bigger picture in mind in the motive.
Well, now I have more time, but when I had four kids, and when they were smaller, you know, young and growing up, that sometimes I would feel I didn't have time. But when I actually did something, I found out I had time.
Okay.
And it just seemed to work out.
Yeah, so when you did something, I did have time to do that. Hey, that's why we want to be careful, again, not to guilt people in the service, but to get involved as you're able, and you'll realize, wow, the Lord did provide me with that ability. Fred?
I think it's important to realize that Jesus' love for us is unconditional. I mean, he gave everything, including his life, for us. And so we think that unconditional love, that can serve as a powerful motivator for us to give ourselves unconditionally as well, without trying to put a lot of conditions on our doing something and getting so busy wrapped up in that whatever we're doing and forgetting what God has done for us. We tend to think just about what is in it for me.
Yeah, it's always important to keep that motivation, unconditional love of God. We tend to set up the checklist, right? But God doesn't necessarily do that. He gives us a task. When's the task really finished? You know, in some respects, you know, when we're in the
marriage. 2 days after the funeral.
Yeah. Linda.
I think that sometimes people lack confidence that the time that they have to give isn't sufficient to do the kind of job they expect of themselves to honor God. It's just, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's when encouragement comes in and somebody coming alongside or beside you and saying, you know, this, you know. But I do think that sometimes people just lack the confidence when they look around and see how everyone else does it. They think, oh, well, I can't do that. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lacking confidence, need that encouragement. That's, you know, a good recognizing that this is not meant to only be a negative question and expect only negative answers, but there are some legitimate reasons why people are hard-pressed to get involved. Like,
I was kind of along the lines of what Linda just said. There can be, as a church, we can set up either real or perceived barriers to serve. And I think of, there's been some things that used to always, you have to be on campus to do that. Well, now maybe with some technology, you can do that from the house after work, after dinner, after kids. You know, spend 30 minutes on it rather than, I've got to get up, right down here, and, you know, that whole thing. So there can be some real barriers or maybe some perceived ones like, wow, I can't do that because so-and-so's always done that. And she did it to this standard. I don't know if I can achieve. So,
you know, that's a good point, too. You always have to do it in the same way. You know, maybe we don't have that ability, but we still can do the task that's required. Yeah, that's a good point too, Steve.
We often try to put things together that are too big for people. You don't eat an elephant in one city. You take it one bite at a time. So we need to maybe break down some of the work in the church and give them smaller tasks to grow and build with it and learn how to do this stuff. And education on what you're doing is very important as well.
Yeah, that's true. That speaks to Jerry's burnout comment earlier. We can burn out people unnecessarily. That's why we're here to train and equip. So as Linda said, you know, take somebody alongside to build them up. Maybe they'll discover that is their talent. And then more people sharing the workload. Matthew 25, we looked at that last week in connection to time. It also applies to our talents. We won't read it right now. Why is it important to put the talents God gives us to work? Similar answer to what was said at the time.
First of all, if we don't use it.
What was that?
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Oh, yeah, don't use it, you lose it, right? Yep, accountable.
It's honoring God.
Honoring God. There's an expectation. He's given this to us, so we need to put it to good use. What does God accuse one to be guilty of? If he or she does not use what he has entrusted to him or to her?
Squandering his gifts.
Squandering his gifts, right? Laziness, not reliable, unfaithful, not trustworthy, put outside of. And again, because faith wants to do what? Faith wants to act. Realizing again, it's not our works that save us, but out of love and thankfulness to God, who has brought us to himself.
It's like, you know, God gave it talents, you know, and one buried it, didn't use it, and one, you know.
Yeah.
So there were varying degrees, and one who buried it didn't do well.
Right. You got to invest those talents. And I said earlier, when you invest those talents, others will benefit as well in the use of those talents. What type of attitude is displayed by that third servant by not putting to good use his talent? No fear, laziness, selfishness. Are we using the talents God has entrusted to us faithfully, responsibly? Again, there's always going to be room for improvement on this side of heaven, so it's good to review our own heart, you know, where we're at, and being honest with ourselves. All of us can and are to encourage one another through our words, through our actions, praying for one another. Not all the jobs have to come with bells and whistles. We don't need titles to serve either. You know, we can just get involved. As we said earlier, the left hand doesn't even know the right hand is doing so. You know, someone doesn't know you did this or that. That's okay. God knows. That's the one that kind of matters. Now again, if we find out someone did that, hey, thanks for doing that. Because again, one of the hindrances can be, well, I wasn't asked. Don't let that become a barrier or excuse not to act. Or I'm not on that board. Again, don't use that as an excuse not to share Jesus with somebody or to help in a food shelter, whatever it might be. It is one thing to be humble and modest, but it is another to use false modesty as a cloak for laziness, selfishness, or indifference. We can count on God to give us the necessary wisdom and courage so we can go ahead with confidence and do the work He has given to us to do from the People's Bible on this Matthew 25 section. What then is meant by the following statement? Useful talents can be summed up with these words: spiritual, intellectual, physical, emotional.
It covers the gamut of emotions and feelings that the human has, and helping out a person. I mean, is it a spiritual uplifting, intellectual uplifting, physical help for somebody, emotional support? It's all of those things that make you a person.
Okay, Jake. Okay. All right, that's making use of the time and talent well together, Andy.
One of our former pastors preached a sermon once and shared that those attributes there are when God says that we are made in His image, the sermon gave context to what does that mean. And the point is that God's good and perfect will has, see it described through Scripture, has intellect, has a physical presence in the form of Jesus Christ doing good work, right? Is spiritual and is emotional. And so when we're made in God's image, it is those qualities that are what is being spoken about. And so the intent, right? God, what God wants is alignment with His good and perfect will. And so I think, you know, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's good. I mean, our life touches every aspect of these words that were mentioned. And again, it also emphasizes not just one way to serve the Lord and to use the talents that He's given to us. Some will be more spiritually focused, some will be more physical focus, some emotional focus, some intellectual focus, but they all connect one way or another, meeting our life needs and wants. So just some wrap up on talents. What is a volunteer?
Someone who steps up to fill a position.
Someone who steps up to fill a position or a need. Okay. One roped in the service. I mean, one engaged willingly in service. All right, what is meant by the word willing?
Here am I, send me.
Here am I, send me. Good, right? A willingness to do freely and with pleasure. And so are you a willing volunteer? You know, one who is willingly, freely engaged in service.
Well, you know, if you do something that you like, and we all like different things, it's not work. I mean, I used to teach my students, if you have a job you love, you never have to go to work a day in your life.
Right.
So, because there's so many needs, whether it's physical or cooking a meal or doing whatever, there's always something somebody can do.
That's true. And again, as alluded to earlier, we want to be careful, though, that as we recognize the talents here in the church setting, that we don't overburden somebody either. And ask more of them than we should, even though they're capable. We do want to respect their time and other responsibilities in life too. Again, not as an excuse not to step up, but also not to falsely burden someone to do more than they may have time for at this point in time. Keep in mind the words of 2 Corinthians 9, where God says he loves a cheerful or a generous giver, again, freely motivated by the love of Christ in our life. So it's not just with our financial gifts that we are to give cheerfully for the work of the church and the needs of others, but also when it comes to our gifts of time and talent. So when we hear the word stewardship, sometimes we think automatically money, but stewardship is more. It's time and talents. It's management of the life that God has given to us. And the motivation to manage this life properly is the cross and the empty tomb. So on the next page, it emphasizes that again. The motivation for cheerful, willing giving of our time and talents is summed up beautifully in these words from Romans 12. Let's read them together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Is it okay to say no to something? Yes. Again, as we talked about, your schedule may not allow for it right now. Maybe you don't have the talent for it. But we still want to look for ways to use God's time and talent in our family situation, in our work situation, in our church situation, you know, just life in general. Life here on earth is temporary. It's important then that we do not waste even a single moment that God gives us breath. It takes gifts of all kinds to help make the church or society run more smoothly. It takes people with administrative skills, teaching skills, financial skills, those with a special ability and courage, and so on. Each one of us is important and can find a use for his or her talent or talents. Recall these words, 1 Corinthians, all these, the gifts mentioned in the previous chapter, are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. So may Christ be able to say to each one of us when he returns, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice the emphasis is put on the faithfulness, not on the accomplishments themselves. Even someone with only one talent is to be faithful with it. What a privilege it is to share in the work God has placed before us. So free to serve using God's gifts of time and talents. As in view of his mercy, we look at some of the ways to redeem people and members of this church can use the gifts given to us by our Lord. So ask our Lord to help us make each minute, hour, day, and talent count to his glory and to the good of one another. So this is not an exhaustive list. You're in a particular order. And keep in mind, we don't need a title to serve, right? A coordinator of volunteers, we're looking at pursuing that right now because there are so many things that can get done and need to be done. You know, as touched on, we need people to educate and encourage, so we're looking for someone who will help coordinate the volunteers, help the boards in that way, identify what are the needs, and then make sure they have what they need. Like, you know, church cleaning. You know, how many, everybody can clean the church in one way or another. But where's the cleaning closet? You know, where's the equipment? If there's a little toilet paper in the closet, where's the key to change the toilet paper? You know, stuff that some may just know and to take for granted, but for those of us who are new, you know, who's going to show us where that stuff is? So that's why the volunteer program comes in and encourages and educates and makes sure they're equipped and so they're willingly serving. Not that they're frustrated.
You had talked, you know, back, going back when you were saying that not overburdening people. I think we all have to remember that we do have the ability to say no. And sometimes if we miss asking people and they go, well, nobody asked me. I could have done that. But they don't step up. You know, maybe they don't even know that it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, or that they're looking for someone to do that. But I don't know, if people start to get burned out, I've been there, you know, but you back off for a little bit, like you said. But everybody's got the talent, and you need to, you can't worry about, am I going to overburden them? You have to just move forward and ask.
Right, and then encourage them, keep, you know, hey, are you doing okay with it?
Because we don't all know what everybody's talent is.
No.
I don't know what, well, I do. You know, you don't know what everybody's talent is, and somebody could very well have that great talent, and you think, well, I'm not going to ask them because they're doing too much.
Yeah, until we get involved, sometimes we don't know if that is or is not our talent. You know, a good way to kill a volunteer?
Not ask
them.
Don't ask them, and?
Ask them.
Don't take them.
I wouldn't have done it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, yeah. Why'd you ask me to do it? we got to be mindful of that, too. So as you look at that list, again, like I said, not an exhaustive list. Maybe there's something there that you want to add to it in your own mind. Or if you don't see it, ask, you know, Matt, Mike, others, Chuck. Hey, are we doing this or could we do this? And, oh, we are doing that already. Glad you asked. Or, yeah, it's a good idea. But then don't expect somebody else necessarily to get it up and running. If you have a good idea that fits the mission of our church, hey, we'll support you and get it going if we can. You know, so like with our Connect groups coming up, we're asking for people to, you know, organize the fellowship and then run with it. We'll support you, but we can't do it all. So, a lot of good stuff here, and we'll build on these time and talents in the months to come, so we'll come back up. The bottom line, right, God has given each one of us time, he's given each one of us talent, and he's given us the motivation to be good managers of our time and talent. And that motivation is clearly seen in the season of Lent, where God's Son was lifted up, that our sins might be forgiven. And with that forgiveness comes new attitude, a desire to serve and live for God, by serving others as well, and knowing that heaven has already been won for us. So with that thought in mind, God continue to bless your use of time and talent to his honor and glory, whether it be here at St. Mark's or somewhere else. Have a great day in the Lord. Steve.
I found it interesting, and it's just a thing. He talks about the 10, the 5, and the 1 talent, which is money. But it's, in English, it also means talent or ability. It's a kind of an interesting dichotomy of words to translate into English, and money and this intersect together.
Yeah, real quick story on this. Sorry, I'll let you go. Someone had the talent to work on a project at church, but did not have the financial means to support it. Another member had a desire to help as well, but did not have the talent or ability to help, but had the financial means. The two got together, the project got done. You know, the one supporting it financially felt good, thankful, and the one who was able to work with the hands also felt good and thankful. And the one who did the work also got lunch from the one who supported it financially. So again, different talents, different abilities, to Steve's all coming together to the glory of God. Have a great day.